Oh, sorry, my thing is okay. So to reconnect with that basic goodness is a huge part of the Buddhist practice. That's why we practice compassion and loving kindness for ourselves and others. And that basic goodness, when we're connecting there, it really also connects us with our sense of our own inner confidence. And if you imagine a horse, like you're riding a horse and the wind is blowing and you're trying to stay on your horse, you really have to stay upright and you have to be confident. And, you know, there's like this sense of dignity when you see somebody riding a horse. And that's the energy of wind horse. It's that connection to your own inner confidence and ability to have dignity in yourself and in your actions with others, and how you care for yourself as well. And the way we train to have connection with this is through meditation and mindfulness, which is, you know, the basis of Buddhist practice. So there's lots of different ways to practice mindfulness and meditation, but those are really the two basic practices that help us to maintain a connection with our own basic goodness. And sometimes that's called Buddha nature. Sometimes it's called the divine in us. So there's lots of, you know, different approaches to it. But kind of, you know, like staying in contact with that inner confidence that helps us to show up fully in our lives and helps us to care for ourselves and others. That's really what the wind horse is about. So I wanted to give some examples. And one of the examples was, I was thinking about it today. I mean, it's a very like practical example, but some of you know I practice martial arts. And we often train in the evenings. And we train at 6 p.m. And sometimes like around 5 or 5:30, I'm just kind of tired from my day and I don't really feel like going. And I just know that if I go, I'll feel better. So I kind of like rouse this wind horse energy to like just, you know, to put one foot in front of the other and get myself out there. And then I go and I do my Kung Fu training and I always feel better after. So it's like kind of overcoming that sense of doubt or the tiredness that can come over us in our minds and our bodies. And when we really connect with that, there's this huge spaciousness that we can experience. And that's the Dharmic path has like space for everything, for all experience, whether we're tired, whether we're sad. One of the ways we use wind horse is to overcome doubt. Doubt is a really big obstacle to overcome, and Pema Chodron talks about doubt as one of the poisons that's really challenging to overcome. So wind horse can also be applied to that. And when we find that spaciousness, we feel, you know, we find that we have the capacity to hold all experience. So even if there's a lot of sadness or suffering going on, instead of pushing it away, we can allow ourselves to just sit in that feeling. And we know that it's not going to overcome us because we have our wind horse and we can get on our wind horse and kind of balance out any kind of feelings that feel like they're going to just take us over. So I feel like total trust in the Dharmic path in that way. Like anything that arises in my life, I know I can take to this path and there will be help. There will be some way that I can experience whatever I'm experiencing on this path. And there'll be some, maybe just a loosening of perspective. Maybe I'll shift from my judgmental mind and maybe something even grander than that will happen. And some of you probably know about the Tonglin practice, which is where we breathe in the suffering of others and breathe out relief. And I find this practice really helpful because you know, when I see some suffering sometimes, I'm just really overwhelmed and there's nothing I can do on a practical level, but I can not shut down. And the practice of Tonglin helps me to see the suffering, but keep my heart open. And I might not be able to do anything right then, but if my heart stays open, there might be another opportunity that I can do something to be of service to others. And I had this experience yesterday. I was walking around Lake Merritt in downtown Oakland, which many of you know. And just as I was arriving, I saw somebody who I know, and this person has shared that they have an issue with hoarding. And that's a lot, creates a lot of suffering in their life. And when I saw them, they were looking through some boxes that had been left on the street. And it just was like such a visceral visual image of that type of suffering that I was seeing in front of me. And I just, you know, like I can't do anything about that, right? So I started practicing Tonglin for that individual. And then as I continued around the lake, you know, I saw a lot of people in suffering. There's a lot of people living on the lake and, you know, people who are homeless and don't have enough to eat and maybe need some mental health support and they're not getting it. So it's like this practice that can always be there to support me and my ability to stay open in the face of things that I really have no power to change. So those kind of two examples of how, you know, generating wind horse, like not just to get depressed or overwhelmed or feel helpless, but actually to, you know, take on a strategy that can at least keep my heart open, even if I'm not able to provide any kind of direct relief in that moment. And then the one about, you know, pulling myself up to go to my kung fu training, because that's something that's going to be good for me. And if I have more energy, I can be of more service to others. Another one that I thought of was like being able to see the basic goodness in somebody else. So even if I'm struggling with a situation, I had something happen at work recently where somebody was, who's in charge of scheduling, was like making some scheduling decisions that affect how much work I was getting. And I was a little frustrated. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go talk to that person. And then the next time I saw them, I just thought, well, I just saw like, here's this human being and they're just trying their best, just like I am. And so I noticed that they had this really cool t-shirt on. I can't remember what it was now. It was some kind of like figure from a Marvel movie or something. And I just connected with them around their t-shirt and we got in this, you know, fun conversation and it just kind of dissipated any of the anxiety I was feeling. And then I didn't really feel like I needed to talk to them. So I think, I feel like that's part of wind horse too, like that just ability to see the goodness in others and connect to it, not just to like, I've seen that person with cool t-shirts many times, but I never connected with them. And that just kind of shifted the energy between us. So I really liked that. I'm going to read a little something that Shoyang Trungpa Rinpoche, and Shoyang Trungpa Rinpoche was Pema Chodron's root guru, and he came from Tibet and brought the Shambhala teachings to the West. So Pema Chodron's, all of Pema Chodron's teachings pretty much come from her being a student of his. So I'm going to read a little bit about what he says about wind horse, and then we're going to go into groups and talk about it. Wind horse arises in the basic atmosphere of awareness and mindfulness. Out of that space of basic constant sanity, a spark of delightfulness or a sudden flash of wakefulness can take place. This happens over and over again in your life. In the course of a day, you might descend into an almost subhuman level of doubt and depression, and then bring yourself back to the level of wind horse over and over again throughout the day. The key to cultivating wind horse is the practice of meditation. So as I said, meditation is a big part of this. So we're going to break into dyads, and I have two questions for you to discuss. One is, can you give an example of where wind horse has shown up in your life, even if you didn't call it wind horse? And then the second question would be, is there an area of your life where you would like to have wind horse, but you haven't quite figured out how to do that? Welcome back, everyone. We have like 1 minute for any questions or comments if anybody wants to share. Maybe 2 minutes. Yes, Loki.
You said this wind horse, because I don't have a visceral connection to horse culture, but I got it. It was kind of like a Pegasus to me, flying. You know, that's one way I thought of it. But this is a really relevant right now for me. And you said meditation is the main way to enable the practice, and compassion, and seeing the, I'm just recapitulating, seeing the goodness in other people. And I just want to make sure I got that clear. And in your own self, you know, so I guess it's opening up to Buddha nature in that way. Just trying to get more tips on how to do wind horse, because it sounds really neat.
I think you're on to it. So just keep going. Okay. Yeah, one of the things Shoyang Trungpa says is that meditation plants the seeds of goodness and sacredness in our lives. So it is really like the training ground for this practice of wind horse and all the paramitas and compassion and loving kindness and everything we practice. So thank you. I do have a poem to share to close out, and then Carl will get us all back together and we'll close out for the evening. This is a poem by Rumi, and I like it because it's like very, it kind of points to the ordinariness of life, but I think, you know, wind horse can bring an extraordinary energy to the ordinariness of everyday life. So this one's called Today Like Every Other Day. Today, like every other day, we wake up empty and frightened. Don't open the door to the study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty we love be what we do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Thank you all for your presence and focus.
Ari, thank you so much. So as we close, let's sit together for a minute or two, and we'll dedicate the merit, okay? So let's sit.